The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris DeJoy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast and streaming audience. We are literally putting the plane together while we fly it. There we go.
Yes,
we are. Oh, speaking of flights, I got to take one tonight, and I'm just looking at the weather, and it looks delay happy.
Oh no!
Yeah, thunderstorms coming in, and that means probably great news for my travel tonight. I'll probably get into New York, you know, about 3 a.m.
Yeah,
the normal time. I just expect that,
yeah,
I'm going to be in New York after
time.
Midnight. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
If it's not midnight, it's probably closer to 2 o'clock in the morning. But whatever, I'm not going to complain already. It's going to be a good day of travel. We're going to figure
That's
it out.
Right.
Delta's going to let me know 4 hours ahead of time about my delay so I can stay here and relax and
yes.
kick up my shitty gallbladder and just hang out, eat rice and crackers
until
my sphincter. Sphincters. I was just watching some videos. There's a guy that I follow on Instagram, recently started following.
Cliff, or whatever his name is?
No. Connecticut. Connecticut. Need a ride? I'm not drunk, I promise. Oh, where is that guy from Connecticut? What was his name? Is his name Cliff?
Well, I thought it started with a C, but maybe I'm just thinking of Connecticut.
Cliff. No, it's not Cliff. Damn, I wish. Now I can't remember. Of course. Now I need to find him, and I can't find him. Connecticut. Okay, he'll pop up at some point, and I followed him, so at some point his videos are going to start showing up again. Probably when I'm talking about him. You ever seen this guy? The dude with the huge white hair that claims he's a spiritual guru?
That makes sense.
Okay, let me. You want me to play a little bit of him?
Yeah,
and then
sure.
I'll tell you about my love of hobos.
Well. It dates back to your Halloween.
That's right. So my mom dressing me up with a little stick and some newspaper crumpled up and a handkerchief that she... I was like a hobo. Like a real hobo. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Here we go.
Let them tell me what they had occur.
Sometimes when they're...
So I'm walking around...
Let me describe this guy.
And
I think you've seen him before on TV because I think
I'm walking around...
Here. He's a guy that has a huge head of white hair,
yeah.
but not like
an afro,
but it's epic. It's like 2 feet in circumference around his head.
Yeah.
Clearly a wig.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be. I think he was on TV for a bit. He claims to be clairvoyant or a fortune teller or whatever. And he heals you of certain things by talking you through it. Here he is.
Now, and I am going to work with people. A little bit one-on-one, and let them tell me what they had occur.
Sometimes when there's infidelity, it just takes a spiritual gift or two to make things better again.
Sometimes I got to put my hands on their pee-pee and tell God to heal their broken penis. And sometimes I got to put it in my mouth.
Cheated on you.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're here to heal that.
Yes.
But I think if you just love him... That you'll love him right out of it.
Just love it right out of it.
Look how big that guy is. Look at his fro. Oh, my God. That is crazy. This is Gary Spivey. Look at how big that fro is. And
yeah,
that belly.
Huge.
Yeah, the belly and the fro. I'm not sure which one is bigger. There's been some infidelity. Is that right? Yes. And you're angry with him? I am. Just love him right out of it.
Just love him?
Just keep sucking and fucking until you forget all about it.
I think he's taking it serious.
Okay.
I think he's taking it serious. You know, he's pretty... He says he mostly doesn't think about cheating on you anymore. He says he's only DMing a couple other women at this point. So I think he's okay. Everything's all right. Thanks, Gary.
Does he have any qualifications?
No.
Okay.
Hey, my buddy.
Hey, my buddy. You sticking your dick in other girls besides your wife? Sweet. Let's talk about it. Hey, my buddy.
Been good. I don't remember him. I think I'm standing downhill. He got bigger. Oh, here. I figured out how to make you happy. Okay? Okay, give me help.
Yeah, don't hurt me.
Don't hurt you. I'll be gentle. I'm your first. So here we are.
I mean, I guess just anyone.
He's feeling the guy up. Yeah, I guess just
anyone.
Any dumb shit on Instagram becomes Gary's instant client. Gary's now feeling this man up, who cheated on his wife, by the way. And he's offering no suggestions whatsoever as to how they can get through it. He's just saying, hey, my buddy, just love it. Love through you. Let me touch tits a little bit. Can I grab your balls? Is that okay?
Jeez, and sexual demons that made him cheat in the first place.
Sexual ask God demons. For the gift of a brand new heart.
God, give me the gift of a brand new heart.
Okay. Reach over on the gift table and just touch that table. You actually got two hearts. You got one heart for you, and you got one heart for her.
Sounds like you need surgery. I've got a good one. I've got a good surgeon I can recommend to get that second heart removed. This guy is fucking insane. Anyway, I'm watching a hobo. We'll get into Gary. I'm going to pull some of his videos. I found his YouTube channel. I'm going to pull some of his videos. We'll talk about him. I wish he had a slightly funnier voice. Because he just has like kind of a regular voice.
Yeah,
I know. The whole situation back there is a hot mess. We used to have it licked, but something happened. I think my kids happened. And now the whole commercial break neon sign situation.
Oh,
Chrissy.
I was trying to make
you got to use a daft touch. Just like gentle.
Okay, there we
go. Just leave the wire. It's okay. Everybody knows. No one's expecting magic out of the commercial break. Everybody knows just what kind of shitty studio we have. So I'm watching this hobo on Instagram. I started following him. And when I say hobo, I mean hobo. He is a rail riding. He's a rail rider.
Okay.
Is what he is. He jumps into empty train cars and he heads down the tracks, or he jumps on the back of train
That's
cars.
That's a whole like society. Of
it's a whole lifestyle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did. And here's why I want to talk about it. I didn't know, but in Kansas every year there is a hobo convention.
Oh.
That they all get together in Kansas for a week. It's a big festival, like Bonnaroo for hobos, like hobo. Hobonnaroo. And they play music and they have comedy and they do the whole nine yards.
Okay.
And they do a parade down the street and all the hobos sit on a truck and they all wave to everybody. And
are you thinking of going?
I think I'm more interested in going to that than I am to the gathering of the juggalos. Which
yes,
now God. Everybody has gone to.
Oof.
Every podcaster in America has gone to. And it still looks like the roughest place in America to go.
Yeah.
I mean, the things they do there. Like, I know it's all in good fun. And I know that it's a community of loving people that just get together and have fun. I'm not knocking juggalos. Please don't come at me. I've had my moment with juggalos. At first, I thought it was ridiculous. And then I started watching some of the videos of real juggalos doing like videos about gathering the juggalos. And it just seems like everyone is there to have a good time. Some oddballs that like this kind of, that like Insane Clown Posse that found their people. Cool, dude.
Yeah.
Me too. I found my person in Chrissy and there's no other people I like. But besides that, and my wife and occasionally my children and definitely not Blue. But okay. So every fucking podcaster on earth has now been to the gathering of the juggalos. I think that's their main driver of marketing is other podcasters doing videos and all the crazy shit that goes down there. But some real crazy shit goes down there. They have like the poop dollar. Do you know what that is?
No.
Someone will take a $100 bill, $5 bill, $10 bill, wipe their ass, crumple it up, throw it on the ground so that an unsuspecting human being will come along and go, I found $10 on the ground. And then it's full of poop. So there you go. Stuff like that. I'm not interested in the least. My germophobia is at an 11. I don't want to touch my phone when I'm watching videos of Gathering of the Juggalos because I'm afraid I'm going to get a poop dollar flown at me through the screen. Thanks anyway. I'll watch the podcasters. Gathering of the Hobos, however, that's Gathering of the Juggalo Hobos. That, however, seems like a party I want to be involved in. These guys and girls, they are riding these rails, and it's an extremely dangerous thing to do.
Very dangerous.
I have watched videos of guys, mainly guys, who have gone across the country, across Canada, up and down north.
Mm-hmm.
And these are like dudes who have 9-to-5 jobs, and they take like 2 weeks off and they go ride the rails. It's been like a lifelong dream of theirs. You can go to jail. You can get killed. You can be in a rainstorm with no protection. I mean, just all the different shit that could happen to you. It is such an incredibly dangerous thing to do, and people love it. It's like part of Americana.
Yeah.
It's part of the history of America, and I love watching this content right now. I am so happy that I found a hobo on Instagram. I cannot wait to find more. Hey, young ladies. some of my daughters are out there. They've decided to play jokes on us today. Unfortunately,
like scaring me.
We also have to record. Yeah. Here comes Astrid to lay down the law. Astrid, they call them bulls. A bull is a yard. They call them a yard bull. And a yard bull is like a security officer, a police officer with one of the train companies that is in charge of getting these rail riders off their cars. And so, you know, you can go hundreds of miles on a train and never go into a yard, like a train yard.
Yeah.
But when you do go into the train yard or when you're in certain places, they know where the bulls hang out. The bulls will be there just specifically looking for people. But these guys and girls, they jump off trains in the middle of towns. They go refill on supplies at Walmart, and then they come back and jump the next train. They don't even know where the fuck it's going.
I know. It's like really wild. I listened to a podcast a while back, I guess a couple of years ago, and it was about a mom of a girl that had decided to take off and do this. And
yeah.
How she tried to go find her and, like, track her down. And she's going to all of these train yards, and she's talking to the bulls and the owners and
yeah.
the different – it was – it's fascinating. I, you know, had no idea that this was a big thing.
We called them, when I was growing up, I came up with a name for them, trunk punks. And it was like this group of, like, typically dressed as kind of punk rock kids, right? You know, I don't know, like Ramones shirts and chains around their wallet, just like Brian had, and Doc Martens and, you know, dirty, usually had a dog of some sort, panhandling or doing some kind of not menial, but some kind of thing that they would do for you and ask for a few dollars. And some of them rather rough, some of them kind of, you know, rough and tumble, like they seem like they would want to get into an argument with you. And so what would happen is...
Do we have our sound
down? No, we don't have our sound down, but they say, maybe it's me, but I can't hear a lick of what you're saying. No, the sound is definitely on, or maybe it's not. And maybe that's why people are having trouble today getting in. Yep. Okay. Sorry about that. Can you hear us now? I'm so sorry about that. Wow. We've had that setting like that all day long. And I was wondering why no one was chiming
this
in
was
last
the,
one.
Yeah. This was, we had the same thing happen about a month ago.
Okay. So if you're listening to this on the podcast version, sorry, we had to stop because people are telling us they can't hear us on the stream. But, you know, leave it up to Brian not to check that setting in weeks and then wondering why no one's coming to see the commercial break streaming. They are. They're just leaving immediately. Okay, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. They say they can hear us now. Thank you so much. So I was talking about trunk punks or these rail riders, the kids, like not the older folks, not the older gentlemen and ladies who do this, but the trunk punks, the teenagers, the 20-somethings. You see them around town sometimes.
Yeah, no, they're
you know?
Down in like Little Five.
Yeah, they're down in Little Five. They're off of Howell Mill where the big train yards are. And they're in a lot of them in New Orleans. That seems to be like a home base for them. Yeah. And these are real rough and tumble kind of people. I would imagine that addiction and alcoholism goes right hand in hand with this. I've seen, you know, they kind of like that bag o' beer kind of thing going on. And, you know, I am fascinated by this world. But having hung out at times with trunk punks, like at a party or a bar, like Northside Tavern, I was hanging out with some trunk punks one time. They stole my friend's purse.
Oh.
Yeah. There were trunk punks at a party one time that I was there, and they like stole a bottle of like Vicodin somebody had, right? Or it was assumed that they did. No, I don't think anyone saw it. But, you know, they're just trying to get by, I guess is the right word. But it's to make a conscious decision to go sit in
jump trains. That's just
it's ballsy. It takes a lot of balls. I can appreciate
it. I'm an adrenaline junkie. I do like adrenaline, but not like that.
No, Chrissy, no. I'm also a Holiday Inn junkie. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Marriott by Courtyard junkie. I like to have a clean shower and a warm cup of tea at night. I don't mean to sound
grandfatherly.
Yeah, I don't want to sound too pompous here, but I don't have any interest in spending weeks on a rail just not knowing where I'm going.
No.
And I mean, some of these guys do. Like this guy that I'm following, he knows exactly which train he's getting on. He knows where it's going. He knows where it's stopping. He knows how to get off and get on. But he's always worried about the next cop or bull.
I was going to say, you're kind of running from that.
Yeah, and once you get busted, apparently they put you in like a database and then they're always looking for you.
Yeah, and the whole train system too is like its own entity. It's different from like the government.
Well, the government doesn't own any of those lines.
Right.
It's all owned by either like a co-op of all the train, the BNSF and all the other, you know, whatever they call it. I don't know all the names of the rails, but
Norfolk Southern.
That's right. Norfolk Southern, which has a huge presence here in Atlanta, yes. By the way. They have a big building downtown. But all those rails are owned privately for the most part. And then the government, in tandem with the private entities, is allowed to use the rails for certain purposes. Of course, some of the rails are just commuter rails, but very few of them are. It's not like Europe where they have separate commuter lines and freight lines and all this other stuff. Here, they're all shared by the same. All the lines are shared. And so, you know, I don't think I really want to spend my entire life running from the cops or the bulls. I don't think I want to spend my entire life dirty and sweaty. I don't think I want to worry about the next rain. I don't think I want to have to...
Or an amputated arm.
An amputated arm, you know, or people seeing me, you know, pissing out the side while I'm...
There's Brian.
There's Brian's dick pissing as he goes through town. One time I saw... We were in Vinings, and we were stopped at the train light there that goes right in between the middle of town. Perfect place to put a little community there. we were there. I lived right behind the rail. And so sometimes we would get drunk or high, and we would go sit by the tracks. Like, we're talking where that TV is kind of, where the tracks are.
Okay.
We would go sit that close and just let the trains just barrel by.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly dumb.
I know.
I mean, incredibly dumb. But, you know, I was young and I wasn't thinking of it. But one time we were stopped at the light in a car, and the train was going. They usually go by very fast through that area, but this time it was going kind of slowish. Mm-hmm. And we saw some dude, some guy was just pissing out the side as he was flying by. And I was like, wow, go, dude.
There's Johnny.
Hey, it's a trunk punk. Hey, Johnny. Where's your dog? And they have dogs. They always have
they
a dog.
Always have a dog.
They always have a fucking dog. Yeah. All the trunk punks have a dog. And I always wonder, do the dogs go on there? I guess they do. They must. I don't know. Or do they leave them and come back later? I don't know. Did they just pick up the dog along the way? It's always the pan. You know, there's like a lot of panhandlers down in downtown Atlanta too. It's interesting that, you know, there's a bad homeless crisis here in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to diminish being homeless, not to be dehomed or not have a home. That's a terrible feeling. I know. I lived under a porch one time for a period of time. Mm-hmm. It's not a good feeling. It really isn't. It's a feeling of great instability, uncertainty, and anxiety. But I wonder sometimes, like there's in New York, there's like a particular panhandler that is always outside of the Starbucks.
Yeah.
And I bought him a meal one time. Right. And then I noticed that his shoes were nicer and more expensive than mine. They were like real deal Air Jordans.
Yeah.
Right. And they were shiny. And I thought to myself, where is that dude shining up those Air Jordans? And how did he get them? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes the guys are like, you know, they're dressed like head to toe in Banana Republic. And I'm like, where did you get those? I don't even dress head to toe in Banana Republic. I'm in Primark. How did you get that?
Yeah. So, no, sometimes you get a wonder.
You do. And listen, either way, it's a tough way to live, right? But it must be, I'm sure that there are some people who take advantage of other people's kindness. Sometimes I'll see like a whole family of people sitting outside, you know, I need to feed my baby, right? And I just get a little suspicious when you have a baby Bjorn and then you're like, I need to feed my family. But I will say this. If you need to feed your family, then nothing is above feeding your family. There is no pride that goes above feeding your family. And I would have done it had I had to, too. I almost did it. I think I did do it for a while, actually. I was just panhandling in my own way. I was just picking up the phone and panhandling. Sure, I'll pay 800% interest on that. No problem. Can I feed my family? Okay, great. All right, let's take a short break and we'll be back to talk about Brian's misspent youth. Even more. Yeah, that's what everyone wants to hear. Now that you can hear us, we'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of The Commercial Break.
I walked in the door to grab a latte. I paid $10, heard Ariana Grande. But then I saw him and his big dog. I felt my knees weak, here came the brain fog. And though I'm not gay, you make me feel that way. I hope it never ends, my new Starbucks boyfriend.
Yeah, not a fucking dime of it, we'll see.
All my toes
little
curl,
nod to
all
Dolly.
The feels come. Yes. My world of gold, you are my shining sun. We love to talk sports and swim in pools. You like the patio, I like the bar stools. And we spill tea and we throw shade. The other tables might think we're gay. I don't really care, I hope it never ends. You're my best Starbucks boyfriend.
Great song, great song. Written and produced by Brian Greene, but not sung by Brian Greene. It's AI. I'm sorry, I had to do it. Listen, you get a band to go sing these songs. First of all, no one says yes. And second of all, I wouldn't have the money to pay him anyway. All right, so
still going a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. I got it on the background just a little bit. What kind of toilet paper do you use over there at the house? What are you squeezing? Charmin.
Absolutely.
Charmin's the best.
Only way to go.
That's the only way to go. Listen,
we travel with it.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. 9 times out of 10, they're not using the best stuff.
No. And there's two things you don't want to skimp on. Toilet papers and paper towels. Those two things you don't want to skimp on. You just don't, because it's not worth it. Like, go get Bounty and then go get Walmart brand whatever the shit.
Yep.
And tell me how many more paper towels you're using to get the job done of one Bounty, because they make good paper towels. As does Charmin, makes the best toilet paper. My opinion, I agree with you. It's something that we use here at the house, and wet wipes and all that other stuff.
Yep, dude wipes.
Yeah, dude wipes. Well, we use a different, I think we actually use the Charmin wipes.
Okay.
But, you know, same thing, same premise, dude wipes. Flushable, you know, biodegradable wipes. the price of Charmin is about to almost double because of Trump's tariff war with Canada.
Canada.
And I cannot for the fucking life of me understand why we are tariffing the shit out of our best friends.
Yeah.
What in the world is fucking going on? And we're going to name Lake Ontario Lake Trump now?
Lake of America.
Lake of America. Give me a fucking break. How did that work out with the Gulf of America? Yeah. It's back to Gulf of Mexico, by the way, I noticed. So there you go. I guess we didn't change that name.
Canada's just the latest thing.
Canada is the latest and greatest distraction is what it is. And the latest, greatest distraction is just another ruse to fucking pump the ego of one certain man and try and, you know, the markets have not reacted to the tariffs like a lot of people expected the markets to react to the tariffs. They've stayed relatively calm during all of this. But the cost of everything that we have to pay for, not the stockbrokers, the hedge funds, or the multi-billionaires that are, you know, trading fractions of a stock at milliseconds, you know, to make billions of dollars, all that shit. It's just fine. Mm-hmm. If you're a billionaire in this country, you're doing just well. But the rest of us are having to pay twice as fucking much to wipe our asses because this dude has a hard on, or doesn't have a hard on. He's got a softy for whatever, because someone hurt his little boo-boo, like his little ping-pong. I'm so fucking over it. Stop it. Stop it. I rooted for you. I didn't vote for you, but I rooted for you to succeed.
Yeah,
and now you have failed in every fucking way imaginable, and you continue to fail. Stop it. Stop it.
I mean, it just looks like he's just a child.
He is a child.
I mean,
it doesn't look like he's a child.
Yeah.
He is a sick egomaniac who cannot stop his little feelings from being hurt by everything and everybody, and he lashes out in ways that hurt everybody else around him with no empathology whatsoever. I just made that word up. No empathology whatsoever for anyone else that gets hurt. And it's absolutely killing this country. And I guarantee the chickens are going to come home to roost at one point, and we are going to be in a fucking shit world of hurt. He's letting AI run rampant over everybody. He's got fucking Bitcoin running the biggest scam that's ever been existed. He's profiting from all of it. He's getting billion-dollar planes from people. He's remaking Washington, D.C. in his own image that no one fucking asked for. Now he's going to demolish the fucking Kennedy Center because they won't let him put his name on it.
Yeah, he's I'll just demolish it.
Yeah. No. Meanwhile, I'm sorry, but the dum-dums in South Carolina are voting for Lindsey Graham's sister, who doesn't even know what foreign policy means, let alone understand any of it. She's already an acting senator, but when asked how she was going to address the affordability crisis, she said, I don't know. I'll have to figure that out when I'm a senator. She is a senator. You fucking numbnuts. Unbelievable. And people go vote for her because Trump says vote for her. It's unbelievable. The mass brainwashing that has happened. You got to break the spell. And start to see, I don't care if this was fucking Barack Obama on high. If he was doing the same shit, I would be saying the same fucking thing. Stop it.
Exactly.
Stop it. Impeach this dude or something. I don't know. But stop it, because the chickens will come home to roost. We're losing our greatest trading partner. We've lost our greatest security partners. We've blown up NATO and the North American, in the Europe, North America, European alliances that have protected this world for so fucking long and made it relatively peaceful. We're ignoring China. We're sending planes to Russia with secret, you know, Jared Kushner, you know, bringing, I don't know. I don't know what he's bringing, hot sauce over to Putin or some shit like that, trying to make a trading deal. I'm sure trying to think about the next resort he can open in Russia. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're all sitting here with our dicks in our hands, wondering how we're going to pay for the next goddamn thing. Like, Charmin? Really? What, are we going to go through COVID all over again when there's, like, shortages? Canada's not fucking around. You know what? You picked a fight with the wrong person, because Canada is our second biggest trading partner outside of China. And they have said, fuck you.
Yeah, and the people are behind it, too.
They said, we're ready for the pain. We're ready for the pain. We'll make the sacrifice. Americans are not like that. We're a bunch of selfish children. And we're like, no, don't do that. Please. Yeah. Please, Hammer, don't hurt me. And I'm telling you what, the Canadians have a lot more balls than we do, and they're going to stick this through. And Trump is going to be sorely disappointed. Taco Trump is going to have to change direction yet again. And you still got a war in the Middle East that no one seems to be able to solve. And now they're charging $1 million per freight liner that goes, you know, per ship that goes through there. It's a big fucking hot mess.
Yeah,
the whole goddamn world. And it's all because of one human being and the sycophants around him who refuse to tell him otherwise, or do tell him otherwise. And he just fucking ignores them. Meanwhile, Natalie Harp's washing his dirty ass 24 hours a day, you know, telling him all the conspiracy theories that make his little, you know, head feel a little bit bigger. Stop it. It's got to stop. This has got to stop. This is insanity. It literally is the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
And then we're making nice with North Korea while we're pulling out of South Korea security. What? What?
Yeah, no, it's like an upside down world.
It is an upside down world. He's made it an upside down world. He has, you know, I can appreciate wanting the counterinsurgency guide to win. I can understand being sick of the status quo and wanting something fresh and new up there. But you made a real bad fucking mistake. And now you got to correct it. And part of correcting it is to completely espouse anything that he is for, because that's the only way to take power out of his hands, is just to say no. And even if you're a Republican, vote the other Republican, the guy who kind of makes sense. Not the, listen, South Carolina didn't have, they had two bad choices, to be honest with you. They had two bad choices. They had Norman, who, like, you know, cheered on the January 6th.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, sightseers who are up there just visiting the Capitol. Right. And, you know, and then they had Darlene Graham, the woman who had never in her entire life picked up a fucking newspaper, and now she's going to be the next senator of South Carolina. I feel bad for South Carolina. I know some people that live there. Feel bad for you.
Mm-hmm, me
I really
too.
Two things. Hayden Panettiere dies in your in Greenville, and now you got the next shit show going on up there in the Senate. Unbelievable. I can't believe we're going to have to pay more for Charmin. I'm already paying like $12 for five rolls of toilet paper.
It really is. It's already expensive. Everything's more expensive.
Yeah. And while we're on the subject, let me say one more thing. How can you piss in American farmers' faces?
Yeah.
And American cattle farmers' faces? These guys feed the fucking world, and they feed the United States. And cattle crops are, as I say, cattle crops, I mean the stockyards, are as low as they've been since the 1950s. And the reason why is because they have had to cull their herds because of sickness and other issues, and because we keep stuffing the American supply system with cheap outside beef. Mm-hmm. And now Trump has bought like $16 billion worth of Argentinian beef. Mm-hmm. When asked why you're buying Argentinian beef when there are farmers in the United States of America who can't afford to keep the cattle that they have because they are not selling enough beef and they need to get their beef yards, like they need to have more cattle on their beef yards, why you're not subsidizing the American farmers so that they can succeed, he says the Argentinian people, the Argentinian beef the cattlemen, they're suffering. They're suffering greatly. I can appreciate that they are. That's cool, dude. But you know what? So are the American farmers. And you are the president of the United States of fucking America, not Argentina, you shithead. Unbelievable. And by the way, China does not allow that beef in their country. Do you know why? Because it's filled with cancerous poisons. The Argentinian beef is cancerous poisons.
Oh, fantastic.
And by the way, your senators and your congressmen will not allow a bill to go through that would label where your beef comes from. So now you don't know the difference. You can't make a choice as an informed consumer. So fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, and fuck you. Meanwhile, measles are going crazy all over the country because no one believes in vaccinations anymore because Robert F. Kennedy Bear Killing Jr. is up there, I don't know what he's doing, push-ups with Joe Rogan while we're all suffering. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's a whole fucking crazy mess. Thank God we got Dr. Mehmet Oz as the director of the CDC or whatever the fuck. I mean, God damn it. We have to get a hold of our country.
Yeah.
We have to. I love this country. I want it to be strong and healthy for my children. And I just see it going to shit. I really do. And it is largely because of one man right now. I can agree that everything that led up to this, everyone has made mistakes. We all do. We've made mistakes and nothing was getting done even before Trump was around. I get it. I understand. Then let's put
people. Yeah, you wanted to shake up.
Yeah. Okay. Shake it up in a good way. Can we stop with all the foolishness? Please, for the fucking love of Christ. Okay.
You got that out.
I did.
Okay.
I feel good. I feel better. You feel better? I feel better. If you feel better, I feel better. And then we all feel better together.
Yeah, no, you just brought up everything I've been reading about.
Yeah, I mean, I could go on and on and on. I honestly could. I could go on and on and on because the truth is that there is a lot to be concerned about. And I think that's kind of the point with the Trump administration is throw everything at you and distract from what's really going on, which is the absolute thievery of every single industry, every single penny that they can take, they're taking. That's it. They're trying to make themselves rich enough to be untouchable. Rich enough and powerful enough to be untouchable. And that's the scariest part about this all. The scariest part about this all is none of these people will see consequences. They will not because they are too rich now. They're too rich. They're just going to get away with it. They always do. They always will. And that's what fucking sucks. And that's why we need you to send money directly to our PayPal. Both of you. Right now. Both of you send us money to our PayPal. The guy I work for in New York is probably like, Brian, you gotta settle down a little bit. You sound like a partisan hack. I might sound like a partisan hack, but it's how I feel. And I'm not a partisan hack. I really am not. I'm not a partisan hack.
No, I mean, it's extreme right now.
It's extreme
debt,
what's going on.
$40 trillion? It just hit $40 trillion?
$40 trillion. It's more than the GDP.
Yeah.
The debt is more than the GDP with no signs that anyone wants to even address it. I was reading an interesting statistic and, you know, economy is a science, but it's also an art. It can be subjective in some ways, even though you think it's numbers. It can be. And lots of people can interpret that in different ways. Just look at JFK Jr. RFK Jr., excuse me. And I was reading an interesting article that said if we had not started giving tax breaks back in the 90s and we had stuck with the plan, the balanced budget plan that was put in place by Newt Gingrich and President Bill Clinton, if we had kept on that plan, and that plan included taking more tax dollars and putting them toward Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, if we had done those things and not started slicing and dicing taxes for mainly the upper 1% to 3%, if we had done that, that we would be much closer to a balanced budget right now and not have to be worried about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. But now there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. You can't. You can't. And we just gave more tax breaks. And so I'm not part of the 1%, Chrissy. I like to think I am, but I'm not part of the 1%.
You just act like it.
I just act like it. I stay at a Holiday Inn.
Yes.
And so I can appreciate that you don't want to be the caretaker of the world, that you work hard for your money. Some people work hard for their money, and that you just want to be left alone a little bit and not bothered. But if I'm a billionaire, I'm never going to spend all that money. Never. It's going to be really hard for me to do that, unless I want to buy the LA Lakers. Which don't even get me started on that one.
I know.
God. Maybe I'll talk about that next segment. But if I'm a billionaire, I really have all the money that I would need. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying that I understand how that feels. I don't. But if someone taxed me an extra 3%, right? And that led to austerity measures for the country, that led to some kind of balanced budget or some help for those that were less fortunate or whatever, I might just say to myself, that's an acceptable deal to make mm-hmm. because I have been extraordinarily blessed and I should be, and I'm grateful. But not all billionaires feel that way. And obviously they don't. They're trying to protect the money they have. And I can't get inside their heads. But I've heard so many people like Mark Cuban and others say, I would accept that, right?
Yeah.
I would accept that. I haven't heard Mark Zuckerberg say that. Didn't Zuckerberg just do a $17 billion settlement?
Yeah, that's what I was just showing you.
Who's going to see that money? Nobody, by the way.
Yeah, and it was for what? The just so that it wouldn't go to jury.
So it wouldn't go to a jury. Mm-hmm. That social media is addictive yep. and harmful, and they've always known it.
So, settled with states, D.C., and U.S. territories, and agreed to make major changes to its product over claims.
Okay. Right. Believe that when I see it. Yeah. That's never going to happen. Mark Zuckerberg is not going to do a fucking thing.
Yeah.
He's the worst. Him and Elon, they're the worst. Him, Elon, and the Kushners, they're the worst. They're the worst of the worst, as far as I'm concerned. And they want to buck responsibility. They want to buck. They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. They are the only people on earth, and they don't care. Mm-hmm. They really don't. Okay. Well, let's take a break from all this good news.
Yeah. Talk about Dolly.
And we can talk about Dolly for the whole day. But I do want to talk a little bit about this LA Lakers transaction because I think it's interesting. So we'll talk about it in a second.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
Best to you, best to you, best to you, best to you.
Bum, bum, bum.
Da, 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 the keyboard. Casio.
So this guy owns the LA Lakers. He bought it about a year and a half ago. He bought the LA Lakers for $10 billion. He also happens to be the CEO and majority owner or co-owner or whatever of a couple of insurance companies. So you're giving this guy your premiums for your insurance, for your car insurance, your health insurance, all that other stuff. And that money is supposed to be done. You can do what you, the insurance companies are allowed to do certain things with it. They can invest it. They can make hedge funds with it. They can give it to family offices. They can do a bunch of stuff with that money. But what you're not supposed to do is you're not supposed to loan that money back to yourself or related entities mm-hmm. without letting your shareholders know. And you're not supposed to lend a certain amount more than is allowed. Unless you talk to the FCC or whatever, not the FCC, the SEC. But this guy, he used $10 billion. He loaned himself $10 billion to buy the Lakers. Must be nice. It must be nice to take my insurance premiums that you'll deny me when I need actual care.
True.
To take my insurance premiums and then put that back into your own personal purchase of the LA Lakers, the storied basketball team. And just 1 year later, the LA Lakers is now worth apparently $12.5 billion because the former CEO of Disney, Bob Iger, And Jack Kushner, or Joe Kushner, or Jeff Kushner, or whatever the fuck his name is, the other Kushner, not Jared, are going to purchase for $12.5 billion the Lakers. Now, riddle me this. By all accounts, Bob Iger is not worth more than $600 million. A lot of money, no doubt, but it's not $12.5 billion. By all accounts, the Kushner brother is only worth about $5 billion.
Only.
Only. still, not a bad day. Not a bad day's pay, but only $5.5 billion by my math. 5.6, but carry the 1.3. Yeah, 5.6. How do they get the $12.5 billion? Well, they have to borrow it. They've got to borrow it, and I can guarantee they're not borrowing their own money. They're probably putting very little of their own money in there. They're borrowing that money. Where are they going to borrow it from? Places like other insurance companies and hedge funds and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Money that is probably should not be used to buy the fucking Lakers. And that is for goddamn sure. What in the good fuck is going on?
Yeah, again, bizarro world.
It's bizarro world.
I mean, well, you got the other guy, the 49ers guy, the trailer park in Ohio.
I was just about to say,
Ohio.
He is getting blowjobs in a trailer park in Ohio. Yeah. The owner of the San Francisco 49ers was caught in a trailer park in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he responded to an ad.
He responded to an ad.
That the police had set up.
Yes. Probably high on crystal meth. Because, you know, I'm sure all of these guys have some bad drug addiction or alcohol addiction. What else do you do with all that time and all that money? I would do that too. I'd be high as a kite on, you know, ketamine and whatever. And he responds to an ad. And then he goes to the trailer park and he shows up. And it's an undercover officer who arrests him for solicitation of prostitution. And then the 49ers security, head of security, pays out of his personal pocket $1,500 to get him out of jail. And to pay the fine with this drop to disorderly conduct after some period of time. And he has to spend 2 days in jail, which he already spent one. So he's just got to spend one more day in jail. The owner of the 49ers. The same thing happened with that guy from the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you afford a really expensive call girl? Why can't you do that? Probably because the call girl, they fear the call girl would extort them knowing they ran in, like, you know, highfalutin circles. But also, why are you in a trailer park in Ohio when you own the San Francisco 49ers?
Well, I guess he had some ties to Ohio. He has like a house there.
Yeah, him and J.D. Vance. They're both Ohio boys. This is the craziest shit I've ever heard. I cannot believe. $150? $150.
He's a billionaire too.
I've paid more from that from the OK massage place down the street. Whatever it's called, Happy Massage. I really have. That's crazy. He's a billionaire. These guys.
Yeah.
These guys, they have no fucking common sense. I don't get it. These, you know, high-flying, you know, executive types that own all these sports teams, they all seem to be kind of bereft and corrupt. I mean, I guess that's just the way it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of ketamine, I wanted to address something because we actually did get a message about this. And so I'll address this. I didn't want to have to address it, but I'm going to address it. I almost don't want to call attention to it. But I think it's important that we do since it's been a part of the show.
Yeah. And you and I were going back and forth the other day.
God. Yeah. I got a message from Christy the other day. She sent me an article about Reggie Watts.
Yeah.
And how Reggie Watts had been taken out of the Comedy Bang Bang ecosystem and how festivals were canceling Reggie's appearances. Why is that? Rolling Stones did a rather long expose on Reggie and his past relationships with women and some friends, and his cavalier attitude, according to some people, regarding drugs, mainly disassociatives and psychedelics. Those of you who've been listening to the commercial break will know that Reggie is a friend of the show, that he's been on a number of times, that we had these conversations with him, that we actually took Magic Mind or whatever the fuck it was.
Kratom.
Yeah, the Kratom drink. He sent us a bunch of Kratom drinks and we drank it while we were interviewing him. That was by our own choice. He did not encourage us to do that. He just said, if you want to do it, I'll send some to you. I'll have the guy send some to you. The guy did. Reading the article, it's hard to get through. I'm not best friends with Reggie. I'm not good friends with Reggie. I'm friendly with Reggie, I would say, is probably the best way to put it. And I was also friendly with his girlfriend, Catherine, Kat, as he called her. And we first interviewed Reggie when he first met Kat. And he was clearly smitten with her.
Oh, yeah.
And the next time we talked to him, she was living with him. And clearly the relationship had stepped up to another level. They were talking
hello
of love.
To her, yeah.
Yeah, we talked to her. I talked to her on email, on text mm-hmm. message. Catherine was an extraordinarily lovely human being, and all the interactions that I had with him, you can go back and listen to our episode with her and him. She seems like a very lovely human being. She seemed like a very lovely human being. She's no longer around because she killed herself. She went down to Peru, and she mm-hmm. got medication that is readily available at pharmacies there, euthanasia medicine, and she euthanized herself with another person that she met on a chat room that discusses this type of stuff. Some people in her orbit, according to Rolling Stone, some people in her orbit, including her sister, yeah. believe that Reggie pushed Catherine, encouraged Catherine to do large amounts of ketamine and psychedelics, and that when he did that, he caused her to have a mental breakdown. And when that mental breakdown happened, that Reggie was less than empathetic, or at least in the way they wanted him to be empathetic. To what was going on, and that breakup, and then they broke up, and that breakup led to her undoing. I don't know. I wasn't there, and I'm not going to speculate, and I'm not protecting a friend or someone that we're friendly with. I don't know. I would like to think the best of Reggie, but I don't know him well enough to know anything different.
I mean, we always had a good time with him on, you know, doing the interviews and chatting with him. But yeah, we didn't know him.
We didn't know him like super duper well. And so I don't want to claim to have any insider knowledge of anything. I don't.
And there's no criminal investigation going on. This was just a Rolling Stone deep dive.
Yeah, this was just an expose. It was essentially, we heard some things and we put some pieces of the puzzle mm-hmm. together. And there are a lot of people in his orbit and her orbit that feel that he is not being as responsible as he could with his promotion and use and sharing of these substances. So I will say this, okay? In those episodes, we talk about this stuff, and I talk about my own experiences with psychedelics. He talks about his own experiences with psychedelics. We share in stories. We laugh about it. I am in no way encouraging anybody to do psychedelics. I have never encouraged anybody to do ayahuasca, DMT, any of that stuff. As a matter of fact, I've had the opposite, I think, reaction, and that is that these should not be used in any kind of cavalier fashion. They're very strong. They're very
heavy.
Yeah,
not just at like a party on a Saturday night.
No, not on a party on a Saturday night. You shouldn't be taking this from strangers. You should prepare. You should know what you're getting yourself into if that's the choice that you make. And you should absolutely understand that if you are in any kind of unsettled mental state, you should not be doing disassociatives or psychedelics at all, period, end of sentence, because it can unglue whatever is left and glued, if you know what I'm saying. I think that it's easy to cast dispersions. I also think it may have been easy for Reggie to believe this was all, mm-hmm. everyone was having a good time and that everyone agreed. And maybe he missed some of the signs, but I don't know. I really don't. But I will share this. If you listen to those episodes and you listen back to them now, and they may not age well, I'm going to leave them up there because, you know, it is what it is. And they may not age well. You know, you got to be responsible with this stuff. And you have to take into account your own mental well-being because it can cut both ways. Yes, you can have a moment of clarity and you can see God and you can feel all the things and do all this stuff. And that's the best version. That's the best outcome. But in a lot of cases, it's not so black and white. You don't see God and you leave with a muddied mind and stuff that's hard to piece together. Not all ayahuasca trips end with some kind of enlightenment. Not all LSD trips end, you know, at a Grateful Dead show dancing your ass off. And not all ketamine, not all K-holes will you come out of. And I think that's kind of the point, is like, I think Catherine was doing a large amount of this stuff. I think Reggie was also. I think that's clear. I don't even think he's denying it. And I don't think they were thinking enough about their own mental well-being as a couple or individually. And I feel really sad about the whole situation. Mm-hmm. I think it's really sad. And I have a great deal of respect for Reggie as an artist. And I really hope that whatever comes of this, that there is some reflection. Yeah, that's a good word. that there's some reflection on everyone's behalf about, you know, the next thing, the next steps, and how we treat each other, especially around and with and when we're on and when we're off of these substances, because they're heavy. And some mm-hmm. people, there's a lot of talk about hero doses in this yeah. particular article, like how Reggie liked to encourage people to do hero doses, like to take hero doses, large amounts. I'm sure he thought everyone was going to be okay, right? I'm sure that because that was his experience, mm-hmm. his own personal experience. But as a guy who's taken a few hero doses myself, I can tell you, it doesn't always end up with bright lights and sunshine. And so you have to be extraordinarily careful and mindful, and don't let anyone else talk you into anything you're not ready for 100%. Just don't. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Just skip it. You'll be okay. And even if someone gives you a bad look.
Go see a therapist.
Yeah, go see a therapist. That's right. Or go do mushrooms under mushroom, like a therapist who has experience doing this, like a licensed therapist, right? Don't go off into the wild and, you know, take hero doses and expect that you're going to get anything different than what you got, maybe even worse. So just be responsible. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm telling you to be responsible. And if you ever feel like someone's pressuring you to do it, or someone's giving you attitude about not doing it, mm-hmm. or you feel like you're in a relationship or a situation where this is where everyone's just being way too cavalier about stuff that's really heavy, then leave the situation. You have autonomy. Leave the situation. That's what you do, right? And that way, again, I don't know anything different than what was said in the Rolling Stone article, and I don't know that any of that is true. I just know what they're reporting, but I don't know. I wasn't there. Chrissy wasn't there. We think the last time we saw Reggie and Catherine may have been not in a great headspace, but there was no indications of that when we talked to them. None. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything. Did you?
Weird, no.
No, I didn't. And so, God bless. That story really made me sad, actually.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
I almost didn't want to read it.
I know.
I almost was like, I don't want to read this. I don't want to, you know, they always say don't meet your heroes. But, and listen, maybe and hopefully, you know, someday Reggie will come back on and we can have a transparent conversation about some of this stuff. I'm sure a lot of this is heavy for him too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You don't date someone and love someone and all that other stuff. And then some tragic end happens and then everything's fine. And even though I think he's reacted to it online in a cavalier manner a little bit, I'm sure deep down that Reggie is hurting in some way. He's got to be. He's got to be. So God bless. Catherine was a good person. And to all those who loved her, I feel really sad for you and for the family and for all the sister and the mom and the dad and all that other stuff. And to Reggie, you know, love you, brother. I hope everything's okay. That's all I got to say, right? I don't know what else we can say. Oh, what was that?
Oh, that and was, on that note.
That was Brian's sunny side up, which would have been a perfect way to end this episode.
Sunny side up.
I don't think so, actually.
No,
it was sunny side up, but I don't think I'm going to play that. I think that would be a cavalier way to end this episode. All right. Well, there's my Muddle Miles speech about Reggie Watts. People contacted us and they said, hey, did you hear about Reggie? What do you think? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. This just kind of popped up all of a sudden, this whole article, and we were like, whoa.
I didn't know any of this was happening until Chrissy texted me, and I was like, holy shit. But to be fair, it's only days old. It's not like it happened a long time ago. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, I'll go get my gallbladder removed, and then we'll all feel better.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all going to feel better once Brian's gallbladder is removed. How much do you think it weighs? Maybe you think I'll lose a little weight?
No. Isn't it like that big?
I don't even think it's that big. I think it's like that big. On the ultrasound, it looked huge, but I think it's like that. I kept like looking up to see what I could see, and I kept going, oh, yeah, it's a tumor.
Oh, God. Yeah.
No, and she's like, no, it's just gas.
Yeah.
It's just gas.
That's just your gas bubble.
Yeah.
Maybe we should contact the Instagram guy with the big white afro.
Oh, no. Gary.
Yeah,
we'll count. Yeah, Gary. Gary Spivey. Gary Spivey. Or my hobo friend.
Yes.
Yeah. I like all his posts. I love it. It keeps on popping up. He's got some adventures going on, man. He's jumping on and off trains. He's running away from bulls. He's in the Walmart getting water. He loves it. Maybe that's what I'll do.
Yeah, go hop some trains.
Yeah. Maybe I'll leave the kids here. I'll go hop some trains. Yeah, I'll get a dog. A dog that I leave at certain stops and then pick back up when I come back that way because I don't know which train I'm on. Oh, look, I'm back in New Orleans randomly after 700 hours on the back of this train. Guess I got to empty my shit bucket.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, what do you have to do if you go number two? I don't know. I haven't seen that part on Instagram yet.
No,
I'll let you know.
That.
Yeah, I'll let you know when we get to the number two part. All right.
Well, you just become an Uber driver and then go pick up the food.
Then just go pick up the food and then wipe your hands and then deliver it. All right. At the commercial break on Instagram,
not
TCB.
An Uber driver, Uber Eats.
That's right. TCBpodcast.com. Okay, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think
so. I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast and streaming audience. We'll see you next week. Until next time, we will say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.
Party in the morning!